So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
Sunday, January 24th, 2021. Got a great show for you today. There's a lot to pack in here that I'm actually pretty confident I'm going to be able to keep shorter than we usually do, but I know I say that quite often and do not follow up on it, but there's a lot in each portion here that I really want everyone to sit through and watch this entire show today, even those that don't like to sit through the longer ones, because it's as if, I mean, I've done a lot of shows where I sort of coined it as the COVID illusion, right? Where we're picking apart the whole thing and not just one part of it. I didn't want to use that same thing today, but I want us to understand that this is, we're at a point now where I actually argue that there are more people coming out, more medical professionals, experts, respected people out there with credentials to speak on these things, coming out and challenging the narrative, not saying, well, this or maybe that, that this is wrong, that we're being lied to. PhDs, Nobel laureates, on and on. We've talked about this a lot, but today, there's a lot, there was, I actually put off something about masks for a later show, but that would have made this totally complete, but lockdowns, PCR tests, overall mortality. I mean, every part of this, vaccines, you'll see today, is painting a very clear picture of how this is at the very least an illusion, which doesn't necessarily mean that there's not something, but it is an illusion. We are being given something and been, you know, that's being gamed a certain way to give us a very clear perception that they want us to see. Doesn't mean it's what's actually happening. So we're going to go through all of this today. So please stick through to the end, but I'm going to start with some kind of where we are right now in regard to Biden and just a couple quick notes as that very much ties in with where we're going with COVID-19 today. I hope you caught the last show I did with Robert, which was only about foreign policy. It was a really good deep dive on all these things going on that we have, you know, on this show paid a lot of attention to. But of course, with COVID being what I think is easily the biggest thing happening on in the planet right now, I have paid less attention. So it's important that you check that show out. So let's get right to it. Jump in to start off. I wanted to make a quick point about something that you probably already know that I've made clear before, but I just found it really incredible to see this on, you know, New York Post or any mainstream media. Twitter refused to remove, this is January 21st, mind you, Twitter refused to remove child pornography, because it didn't, quote, violate policies, according to this lawsuit. Now, this is all over the place, but it's not necessarily that this is not new. We pointed this out on YouTube, on Facebook, all kinds of really creepy groups and posts that they don't really address, even if people flag it left and right. But you get two people that flag us about some kind of medical misinformation despite even any due diligence, and it's already gone. This is what we're talking about. This either shows you that they have an affinity for child pornography, or they don't care about everything else and only care about controlling the narrative around things they're supposed to, which means censoring stuff like T-Lab's information on the idea that it somehow violates their rules while they're allowing child pornography that doesn't, poses a very interesting question. I said, really, Twitter? And yet you instantly removed The Last American Vagabond and others with zero notice and no justification? Explain for me how T-Lab violates your rules, yet child pornography does not. I highly doubt they'll ever respond. Because if they haven't given me a notice even to let me know why that happened, I doubt they're going to say, hey, here's why this is that and this isn't. It's not going to happen. But this just needs to cement for you how ridiculous this place is we are, this faux reality we're in right now, where we have social media platforms, governments, and the media basically creating an illusion about anything they want at any time. And censoring anybody out here like us that are going, wait, they're deceiving you. Up, censored. Too late. It's already gone. But this is another point on that before we jump into the Biden discussion, is this is what's happening. We need to see that this is the kind of power that these entities hold. As people noticed for a moment, a brief moment, even in mainstream circles, they noticed, look, even Silicon Valley has more power than the president. And then it quickly went away. But we need to recognize this is the reality. Google actually threatens to shut down search in general. So you can't use Google in Australia if you don't do what we want. This is not a joke. This is January 22nd. On Friday, Google threatened to shut down its powerful search engine. Now, that's a wild understatement. That Google is everything around the world in regard to internet search engines, right? I mean, that is it. You have plenty of other examples, but Google is used by the vast majority. And of course, in regard to businesses and using it for business purposes and advertising and so on, Google is definitely where you go. But they threatened to shut down that entire process for Australians, for the 19 million people in Australia that didn't necessarily choose to do what their government wants to do. And basically, if the country adopts what they're saying in this article, big tech draft legislation, which when you read through, you find out that it's basically, look, the point is, not even get into the weeds about what they're trying to do. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with what Australia's government's trying to do, but the point is they have a right to do it. It's their country and they're, oh, I thought I highlighted a point where they said this, but basically they just say, we're not going to be bound by what Google tells us to do. It's our country and we're going to do what we want. But realize that whether or not you agree with what they're doing, Google has the power to say, look, we'll flip the switch on you. Government, entire nation of the world, which we're supposed to be, I mean, that's crazy. It just needs to show you that the politics are under the control of these platforms if and when they decide to exert that pressure. That's alarming. And we need to realize how much that played a factor in the most recent selection in the United States. Now, we're already seeing examples like this from the bigger media outlets, not just the platforms. The Washington Post actually got caught trying to memory hole, or for those who don't know what it means, just basically erase from existence, an article about Kamala Harris and a bad joke about inmates begging for food and water. Oh, you elitist. This is the absurd brutality of where these people, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, are like the most shocking examples. Like the people that are acting like they want them to represent them are the people screaming about the police and, you know, all these different things. And yet these two are the worst examples of they're opposite of what they would think they want, but they don't care. They think Democrat means what I want. That's what happens when you're in a two-party illusionist on either side. You make bad decisions and you're swayed by manipulations. But this is what happens. They're just removed. They tried to, but they got caught today. Why are they doing this? Because they're trying to paint this administration in a picture they want you to be. I argue really behind even the first thing I think is that this is about dividing people even more and creating radicalization. They want you to think that, oh, look, they only support one part of this. When in reality, it's your government versus you. That's what this is. The class war that we just talked about. But for those that think, well, Biden's the future and better and unity and peace and rights and everything. Oh, it's just so fantastic. Well, right out of the gate, Pentagon intelligence purchased troves of warrantless phone location data on Americans. Why? Well, COVID, fear, whatever. Doesn't even matter. Do they even have to answer why? No. Remember that time when this was that quirky conspiracy theory? That's not happening. Now they're just openly watching you every step of your way and buying it and selling it. Your data is the new oil, right? James Corbett pointed that out forever. That's why the UK says, no, we're not going to share your contact tracing information. And they get caught selling it to a company that gives them money for it. And did they get in trouble? Of course not. I don't even think they apologized. But on top of that, we have examples of more actions like we've seen under Trump and under Obama and under Bush and under any puppet president that we put in that gets selected for this position. They're continuing. It's almost like I said the other day in a different podcast, a switch was flipped. All of a sudden, ISIS starts bombing and attacking out of nowhere after being quiet, after being 100% defeated, according to Donald Trump. We have Kim Jong-un all of a sudden, the moment Biden gets into position, going, all of a sudden, the U.S. is the most threat to our country out of nowhere after being silent forever. When all of a sudden, they start pushing into these kind of actions, the kind of making fake protests to point to and be upset about. As Eva Bartlett points out, U.S. Embassy in Russia at it again, advertising protests. Advertising about protests before they happen of another country, complete with meeting points and times. Why? Because they're saying, don't go to these points at these times for this purpose because it's dangerous. Yeah, that's what they were trying to do. No, it's called coordination of the people that I argue are obvious, you know, National Endowment for Democracy sort of pro-democracy assets that are nothing of the kind. James Corbett calls them Trojan horses. The NDA is just basically the CIA today, or rather it does what the CIA used to do in a clandestine fashion, right in the open. They come out and they push in pretending to fight for democracy and they create unrest. They use that to justify everything they do. You've seen it in Syria, you've seen it in Iraq, you've seen it in Afghanistan, you've seen it in Venezuela, you've seen it in Bolivia, you've seen it everywhere. Well, here it is again. Biden going right back to business against bad guy Russia. This is what you'll see. They actually list off the locations, the dates, the information. Here, everybody, don't go here, is what they want you to think. And then right after it all actually happens, the way that they basically made happen, US and UK condemn the harsh tactics of people going after these people in these protests that they told you not to go to, but made sure everybody knew exactly when and where and how to go there. And of course, Russia's going, that's ridiculous. Gross interference. They say they're livid that the US embassy posted times and locations of these protests. Can you even imagine what our media would do if that was happening in reverse? This is the US government creating exactly the context they want with Russia. That's what's happening. Like I've always told you, Biden comes from even more old school than some of the people we're talking about. They have play one, two, and three. That this is what they always do. Create fake protest, claim they're being harsh on the protest, use that to justify action against the country, use sanctions to push in further, use, you know, contractors most likely to create real violence to be able to push in to actually try to overthrow the country, regime change, and so on and so on and so on. We've seen it over and over and over. This is, and I'm not arguing they're necessarily trying to make that happen with Russia, because that would be quite a feat, but this is a means to an end, creating the justification to do what you're always trying to do. Now, another point that you probably didn't see, which is interesting, is that a representative in our government has already filed articles of impeachment against Biden. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I saw some random video. I just find that absolutely staggering. They've already filed articles of impeachment, and no one's even talking about that. It's just people hypothetically considering possibly having a discussion about impeaching Trump, and you get 13 articles about it. It just shows you how they're trying to play this game. And no, I'm not saying that means that this is the illusion. This is what they're trying to create. So you dig in further. Do not take the bait. Your government is a problem, and we should all see that by now. Now, High Impact Flicks points out very interesting points about Q. And this is what I want people to see, because I'm trying to get the people that were fooled in this regard to recognize that we have always been on the side of the American people. You know, the opposite of the two-party illusionists who are picking a side and being used to divide the country. We are on the side of all of us, fighting for the truth, recognizing our government is deceiving us. So the people that were fighting for Q, I would argue, very deceived at the same time, had a lot of good intentions in the idea of fighting for the Constitution. Not everyone in any movement. But they were fooled. And as High Impact Flicks points out, this is the new Q lie, as they try to keep you roped into this thing. This is an intelligent psychological operation. Quote, Biden will become president of the Corporation of America. And I've heard this too, by the way. This is literally what's being circled in these Q circles that are still holding on. Trump signed the new Constitution on July 4th, 2020. This is all secret, according to them. At noon today, this was on, I believe, probably the 20th. Oh, yeah, he posted on the 20th. The military took over. And Biden, and this is apparently what they're telling us happened, even though we don't see it. Biden can legally do nothing, even though that's seemingly not what's happening. Trump will become the real president on March 4th. On March 4th. So yeah, let's just wait 3 months. This is unbelievable. And as he points out, sadly, people will buy that too. Don't fall back into it. As he points out, people, and my intention is not necessarily to call these groups out, as much as I sort of have in my own right in the past, but X22, SGT Report, all these different channels, as he said, they claimed as an absolute fact, because sources and whatever, Biden would never be president. Trump will have 4 more years. The deep state will be vanquished. The Federal Reserve will end, and things we should all want for the most part. You could argue the Trump point. I don't want him in president or any president, but the rest of them you could argue we should want. That high level arrests will be made. They lied. They lied, or they were fooled. There's only two ways to look at that, guys. But the real point is that we need to stop feeding into that two-party illusion. Recognize you were fooled, take a step back, and recognize those of us like us that have been fighting for both sides this whole time. All sides. It says our government is doing this. They're doing it to us, period. Until we can see that, nothing will change. And I'm pointing this out because Lou Kradowski has been on a tear lately. This brought to you by the party that wanted to defund the police weeks ago. It's like, why do that? Or come out and say, ha ha, Q, we told you, you're dumb. That's the last thing anybody really wanting to not divide should be doing. That's a me, look at me point, and that's not what we should be doing. But what he's saying is that this is because there's all this happening, by the way, on January 19th, that this is somehow the one side and not your government doing this. I know he knows better than that. But also point out, this guy says, but isn't Trump still? Yes, Trump was still the commander in chief when this was happening. So the point doesn't really make sense. It's all about division. And I don't even think that's what he's really trying to do. I just think that we all, even myself, can fall into this two-party illusion. And we need to fight against that. This is just the absurdity of where this is all going, though. This is the Washington Post. This was January 15th. To understand Trump's support, we must think in terms of multiracial whiteness. That is not a joke. This is legitimately what they're trying to do. Yes, they're all white supremacists, but here's why we explain how a lot of them aren't actually white. This is absurd. This is called, they're making things to fit the narrative as opposed to actually reporting the facts. Here's what it actually says. What are we to make of the unmistakably white mob violence? So set the narrative before you explain how this not a white mob that also includes non-white participants. Wait, so how can it be white mob violence if it doesn't all... Don't think too hard. I call this phenomenon multiracial whiteness. That is not a joke. The promise that they too can lay claim to the politics of aggression, exclusion, and domination. Right, because only white people lay claim to politics of aggression, exclusion, and domination. That is racist in and of itself. But of course, I'm now racist for pointing out that this person is making an obviously racist statement. Isn't that fun? Isn't it fun how ridiculously backwards these things are? But don't worry, all those people in there, they're also white supremacists, even though they're black and Mexican and whatever else. Just don't trust your instincts and the facts and, you know, basic. It's just, it gets overwhelming after a minute to see how stupid all this is. But a lot of people are buying it. And it leads to something just like this. This is also the Washington Post from January 23rd. Trump jumps into a divisive battle over the Republican Party with a threat to start the MAGA party. Why? Well, didn't you know? Because Republicans at large, and mostly the MAGA in general, which don't forget stands for Make America Great Again, are now terrorists. Because that totally makes sense. And they're all terrorists, no matter what. It doesn't matter if you were there to film the Capitol, you're now a terrorist. It doesn't matter if you just simply followed a group on Facebook, you're now a terrorist. Because your government told you that. Because people like James Comey are saying burn down the Republican Party because unity, right, guys? A threat to start a political party. This is really dangerous rhetoric. And this is, I mean, again, I made the point the other day. How do we not recognize where this is going after we've already been here before in our history? They don't think you're smart enough to see it. Prove them wrong. I'm not saying I support Trump or anything like that. What I'm saying is anybody making a party of people that support them and have that much support within this country, it's absurd to call it a threat or call them all terrorists. And that's basic. That's childishly basic. But that's the point. It's leading to what they're trying to create. And I would say pretty clumsily. It's really pathetic how they're trying to piecemeal this together. But they're going to do it anyway. Because a lot of people think what the media tells you is what people think. So they hear the media tell them they're the fringe and they think, well, I'm on the fringe. I don't have some more majority support, so I'll keep my mouth shut. Don't. Speak up. Go out. Do things that you're not supposed to, guys. Challenge the narrative. If you just sit back and let things happen around you, they'll happen around you. It says this is HR 350, to authorize dedicated domestic terrorism offices. Not just one of them, but within the Department of Homeland Security, within the Department of Justice, within the Federal Bureau of Investigation, all of them to analyze and monitor domestic terrorist activity, by the way, which means you, so all of America, to make sure you guys aren't terrorists, and require the federal government to take steps to prevent domestic terrorism. Okay, so are we to believe that we currently don't have anything right now to stop people from committing crimes in this country? Apparently, because if we need a whole new law to state that we need to do things to stop people from committing crimes or violence, seemingly we don't have one, right? No, because you can find 100 different things that you could be charged with while committing violence or any crime in this country. Because what is domestic terrorist but violence for an end? So if you're talking about blowing something up, well, there's already a crime for that. There's already a law for that. If you talk about anything you could point out that they would call domestic terrorism, there's already 20 laws for each of them. This is not about creating a law that we need. It's about creating the narrative and the drive to push this forward. It always has been. And if you look very carefully, you'll quickly find out that it's Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. It's bipartisan. Wake up, guys. It always has been. And just to show you this before we jump into COVID-19, I definitely believe that we are being radicalized here, guys. Like, not just one side or the other, but they want this to happen now, and that's why this domestic push is happening. This is a really odd video coming off of what we've been talking about. Like, all these discussions about people in their cars, protests in the street, and running people over. And do not forget that all the times we saw these with Black Lives Matter protests and whatever else, which shouldn't be taken as a two-party point, this is what they want us to do. But realize that those protests, where people get surrounded. And previously people have been drug out of their cars and beaten up and possibly, and some of them killed, I believe, that they would then drive, possibly run someone over, and then get charged with a crime after being surrounded and attacked and knowing that people had been killed in that situation. And yet they still charge them with running people over in their car. Now, of course, there are times when people do, in fact, use their cars in places they shouldn't because they're just being criminals, and sure, they'll get charged for that. But there's a weird situation here where we see obvious violence taking place and we're charging people for just trying to get away. But here is the police doing the same thing. And you'll quickly find that everybody goes, why were they doing that? The police was being threatened. They have every right to run away. They shouldn't have been in front of the car. It's funny how the same people that were making that argument before are now suddenly flip-flopping the other way. Now, that's not to say two-party scenario here, guys. It's to point out that this stuff is happening for a reason. They want us to dig in. Recognize that all of that is about getting you to fight your neighbor. And we're better than that. Now, watch this. Actually, oh, you know what? I believe I have the video. Let me grab it. I want to make sure you see this in its entirety because it's pretty interesting. Basically, what you're going to see is it's a police car that is surrounded by people, and it literally runs over people in front of them. It's very interesting. Let me get this corrected actually really quickly.
Hit those people.
Oh my God. Oh shit! Oh! Oh my God! Fuck! Holy fuck! Oh my God!
So I was gonna correct it and go back, but you guys saw it for the most part. I mean, it's pretty crazy. That is a cop car driving over people. Now, you could argue that they were being threatening and they were trying to get away and so on. That's what cops use all the time. But it's funny how that doesn't work when it's you in that position, right? But it's incredible. That's a cop that drove over them. I mean, there's plenty of other things that could be argued there. Are we really going to pretend that they're going to drive? I mean, I don't want to be hypothetical about it, but just using context from the past. But here's what somebody had to say. Considering it's the Portland police, or this is in Portland, I believe. It says it's safe to assume the crowd wasn't closing in to thank the officer for their work. Okay, but of course, let's just safely assume whatever we want that fits our narrative. Officer was severely outnumbered. This was escalating quickly. In seconds, a brick could have been thrown through the window and anything could have happened. A meteor could have struck the ground. I mean, let's hypothetically just assume whatever we want. Of course, it's not necessarily wrong, but my point is this is somebody who probably would have said something different in the past based on certain opinions. But that's just a guess on my part, too. The point is, we can see that this is crazy and that people will take this to push further into their political sides, which is exactly why we're seeing things like this. Thousands of National Guard troops to remain in D.C. all the way through March. Exactly like Patrick Henningsen and myself said, well, this is not just for now, guys. This will be forever. This is your new normal. And all they're going to do is justify it saying Trump bad guy, MAGA dangerous, despite that only seemingly coming from their side as Trump saying pray for Biden's administration, everybody be peaceful, and you got the MAGA side seemingly not. I don't see much coming from that right now. But I do see a lot coming from the Washington Post and from Antifa and all these different people on that side pointing to them going MAGA dangerous. Okay, I don't see that materializing just yet, but I'm sure they'll make that happen for us. That's not to say that there aren't people in that movement that could be violent, guys. The point is that we, to broad brush anything, we used to recognize that that was stupid. That's called ignorance. But that's like the mainstream media go-to today. But remember, to feed into COVID-19 next, that this is also a means to an end. I think it was Syrian Girl, somebody, Really Graceful pointed this out. And I said, great point. I pointed it out too. I said, why are all of these people crammed together? And then there was pictures of them in these buildings, laying next to each other, no masks, nothing. I'm not arguing they should. My point is, if we're being told everybody needs to because we're all going to die, why would they put them all in the Capitol without any protections? Now, you could argue they got the vaccine or whatever you want, but don't forget the vaccine doesn't actually stop transmission. And we'll show you that in a moment. So this is what happens. Now, suddenly, there's outbreaks of COVID all over the place. And who didn't see that coming? Probably because this is exactly what they wanted to point to justify anything. I mean, this is all seemingly orchestrated, in my opinion. All of it, based on what was so painfully, obviously not some kind of coup or insurrection. It's been pieced together since then. We're going to jam a bunch of people in this location and then point back to it and say, see, they're all sick now. We need to not be as unsafe as we were. Yeah, perfect, right? but it's all building in that direction. And all of this is ridiculous. As Michael Yeadon points out, if it wasn't so grimly obvious, it would be funny. Yeah, right. It's like in a very macabre way. It's horrific, but it's absurd. Like, it's laugh out loud absurd. Check this out. Just think, be objective. Just think about this right now. Real pandemic versus stage pandemic. On the real pandemic side, for those in the podcast, we're going to read back and forth. Real and then staged. Okay? Real. Everyone knows seriously ill people in their direct family or community. Under staged. Cases are only known from media reports or other stories. Under real. Hospitals and medical centers in the entire country are overrun. Staged. Short-time work and an empty hospital beds increased numbers of worried patients in medical centers. Under real. There are many, many dead people. Understaged, unchanged mortality rates compared to previous years, which, by the way, we'll get into right off the bat here today, which we're now finding out quite clearly. Under real, politicians and doctors do anything to calm people down. Understaged, politicians create panic and in order to intimidate people. Tell me we can't see this. I mean, this is everything they've done has intentionally all a hypothetical discussion about things that we can't prove that later turn out to be nothing. But this may be the worst thing we've ever seen. And then, no, it didn't pan out, so stop talking about it. All right? That's not what you do if you were trying to keep people calm in a situation that was dangerous to everybody. That's what you do when you're trying to create panic to use for your agenda. Under real, every helping hand is welcome during the emergency. People search for facts. Under staged, renowned scientists are being ignored and publicly ridiculed in the mainstream media. Right? That sounds normal, doesn't it? Under real, there are no organized profit takers. Under staged, negotiated deals behind closed doors lead to multi-billion dollar profits, which we've seen at every step of this process. Under real, everyone is striving for a fast end of the pandemic. Clear guidelines aim to communicate a timely all clear. Under staged, evolving insights, ongoing modification of requirements, and ever-changing rules and regulations extend the pandemic, constantly moving the goalpost. Under real, people are afraid to die and do everything to protect themselves. Politicians try to enlighten and prevent any other reactions. Under staged, people are more afraid of punishment. Regulations are maintained by applying social pressure, enormous fines, and police enforcement. You'll see all this today. Under real, people are experiencing a humanitarian catastrophe. Under fake, people fight over toilet paper. It's just as he said again. If it wasn't so grimly obvious, it would be funny. As Dan points out as well, and I really want you to think about this for a second. How did humanity reach a point where we are presumed sick and still proven healthy? I mean, it happens so gradually. I mean, I actually don't agree with that. I pointed out in the beginning, this whole thing has been on hyperdrive, but gradually in regard to how they normally, or I mean, fast in regard to how they normally do these things, but nonetheless, it was still sort of a totalitarian tiptoe in its own right. Right, it happened gradually over the last 10 months, but people didn't really recognize how it just switched over to, well, we're all positive. And by the way, they use the asymptomatic illusion to push that, which all the recent studies have shown that it's basically non-existent in this regard. But they slowly shifted to, well, we don't know for sure, so anybody could be sick, so you're all potentially dangerous. Like the picture on the main the thumbnail for the video today. Act as if you have it. That's what the NHS is saying on public propaganda advertisements. How is that intelligent? Act like you have it? I mean, that's incredible. But this is the point. But the facts don't add up. Halfway through this winter of COVID, overall mortality is around normal for this time of year. Something doesn't add up. And remember, we just showed you on the last show, I should have brought that up for today, I forgot, Sweden is already being compared. Right now, their deaths from 2020 are no more than was in 2015. That's a fact. Easily look it up. Despite all the people out there screaming that, oh, this guy's pointing to Sweden, he's so stupid. Yeah. But they're being real quiet about it now. The point is that overall deaths are showing it quite clearly that they are no more than 2015. And you're seeing that in a lot of different locations, which you'll find if you do the research. And yes, and I'll show you as we go through this, you can make little clips to make it seem like things look like they're more. But at the end of the day, this is what matters. This is although the numbers of deaths attributed to the virus in the UK are higher than they've ever been. In total, not many more people are dying from any other cold season. Is the mainstream media finally waking up to this? Well, you'd be surprised. It was The Telegraph that wrote about this. A recent article in The Telegraph is one of the first in the mainstream outlet to even suggest to challenge to the official narrative. these days. Now, this could be because some people are arguing that the whole Biden succeeds thing might work, where Biden steps in and all of a sudden everything goes away. I don't think that happening. I don't see why they would give up this much power. Maybe it's because they know they can just grab it right back again whenever they scare you with a new thing. Maybe that's possible. But we'll see how it pans out. That is a very valid thing to consider, that they make it as if Biden and the vaccine, everything they're doing, just suddenly starts succeeding under his administration. But it says these days that narrative claims that the second wave is actually deadlier than the first. Recently, some branch COVIDians have been claiming a third wave, but there's not really much data on showing that at all. But it says it laments how every day the media solemnly reports the latest figures on COVID deaths, presenting this figure in isolation results in graphs such as this one here, showing you, oh my gosh, look at the waves and look at how strong it is right now. Which does indeed seem to show that we're at the height of a second worse phase of the pandemic. But like any statistics, as we should know by now, daily death numbers are meaningless without context, which the media rarely provides, as well as the fact that they can be gamed in 100 different ways. And they know that. They do it all the time. They do not provide context because if they did, the public might see a graph such as this one that shows quite a different picture, the reality with context. And that's from the Telegraph, by the way. It quite clearly shows the spring spike in overall mortality, which was caused by COVID plus lockdowns. After the ends in summer, we see nothing. Now, by the way, I'm reading from what their article and what the author is pointing out. Now, it says overall mortality ever since, even through this winter, understand, hovers at around the five-year average right now. So that's 2020, as well as even so far into this winter. And overall mortality, as this author's repeatedly pointed out, is the only true way to know whether you are in a pandemic or not. All the figures can be easily fiddled with, and they are. As it says, even if you ascribe all excess deaths to COVID and none to the lockdown, which is ridiculous, there really does not seem to be anything out of the normal. Normal variation, it says, in total deaths from year to year. And surely, by now, the toll of unnecessary deaths caused by untreated cancer, heart disease, depression, and so on has at least begun to register. So that means, and it's the same point they make with the combination of flu and influenza, with the COVID numbers and the PCR test, that you remove those things and it's a guarantee it's going to be dramatically less. And then you add on the fact that if it's the same as it was in previous years, and that's adding all of the extra things from untreated cancer, heart disease, depression, adding pneumonia and influenza to pad the numbers, and still we're not. That's crazy. You just need to see that we're by far not in anything like what they're telling us that we are. It says, but the main reason for the disparity is obvious. And we've talked about this and we'll mention it more in this show. Mass PCR testing. Under the current regime, science is definitely the wrong word. A COVID death is someone who dies having tested positive for COVID within the previous 28 days. When you test all hospital patients, as the UK does, don't forget that, then some of them will turn out to be positive, especially when you add on the very high false positive rate. How many depends largely on the way you do the test. Exactly. As you increase the cycle threshold, you'll get more positives. And the more tests you do, the more COVID deaths you'll generate. Think about it, because some of them are going to die anyway. So it's that simple. You test more and more in that community, you'll end up making more numbers. Dr. Mike Yeadon, as we pointed out, has written extensively on this, which he calls the PCR false positive pseudo epidemic. Now, talking about the vaccines in general, we can see that all of this is built on the idea that we're in this dangerous situation. Right? That the whole mortality is so high and this thing's so serious and so worst pandemic in the century. All these things they've been pushing. And that's why this needs to happen. Now, this is why the argument is, despite the concerns, despite the lack of testing, despite the rush, despite any of this, even though they're now noodling with that and saying, well, we didn't really rush. We just spent lots of money. It's so ridiculous. You have to be a child to take that without looking at the information. But they're using all this to claim, well, that's why this makes sense. We're rushing it for your safety because that's how dangerous this all is. But that's not really the case, is it? And here's what we're continuing to see. Californian dies hours after receiving COVID vaccine as investigation into cause of death gets underway, as always. Remember, you die after getting a test of COVID, despite having anything other than a PCR test that absolutely, even according to the CDC, has false positives, meaning they don't know for sure whether you actually are positive. and you die, you are counted as a death. But if you die after getting the vaccine, despite no other discernible reason why, they'll never claim it's a vaccine death unless they can prove a direct link, which they never will because they'll fail to investigate it, and they'll continue to say, it's uncertain, we don't know. Have you seen any one of these investigations after all the deaths so far come out and say one way or the other? No, it ends up where they go, we don't know for sure. Most likely it seems it's not, because that's what we want you to think, despite all the evidence pointing the other direction, despite all the cases we've already seen. Now, it says that they had tested positive for COVID-19 in late December, but died hours after receiving a dose of the vaccine. So now they're going to, the argument is, well, they died from COVID-19. But that wouldn't be hard to discern, would it? It's unclear if the person, this is what's incredible. It's unclear if the person was given Moderna or Pfizer vaccine. What do you mean it's unclear? Well, you'll find out that it's because they refuse to tell you. Why would they do that? Dr. Dean Blumberg, an infectious disease expert at UC Davis Children's Hospital, believes the person's death is, quote, probably not related to the vaccine. Well, that's scientific. This is the point I always make. Why don't you then say it, you know, like the idea of saying it probably is not related doesn't mean anything. That means it's your opinion and you're, I mean, the idea is it's just as likely either way. There's no evidence right now other than the fact that he took it and then he died. But they'll always float it this way. But you'll see it gets more interesting as you go forward. And this is from Fox 40. And this is the investigation itself on the ground. Oh, of course, they refreshed the damn page. But let me see. I had it highlighted some places here. It says they tested positive for COVID-19 in late December and received the vaccine Thursday. The sheriff's office says the man was not administered this vaccine by Placer County Public Health. I didn't notice that last time. That's odd, I guess. Who knows? So he probably went to the Waffle House and got some free waffles with his vaccine, right? Makes sense. That's not a joke, by the way. For those that haven't caught those shows, they're offering weed, they're offering waffles, a free beer, all these different things. Go to the bar and get your vaccine. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But here's the interesting thing. It's unknown where he got his vaccine, where or which one. Why? Because they have yet to say. So that means they were asked and they refused to answer because they're telling, they wrote this because this is something that you would want to know. Why would you want to know that? Because if you're choosing which one or getting one, the reason they don't want to tell you is so you don't hesitate. The truth will cause vaccine hesitancy, so they hide it from you. A cause of death has not been reported yet. And agencies are still investigating, but they reported he died hours after getting the vaccine. The announcement was made in a Facebook post by the sheriff. Many people are going to make the connection to the vaccine because of the timing. Well, yeah, and so would an investigator or a detective, because that's the point. The connection's there. If somebody trips over a rock and bashes their head on the concrete, you don't walk around and go, well, the rock is a likely source, but we don't know yet, right? It's like, wait a minute, he just tripped and then he broke his neck or his head or whatever you want to say. And we're now going, well, maybe it was his shoelaces, maybe the concrete. I mean, it's incredible how obvious this is. Now, I'm not saying you can prove it, but to come out and act like that's the most unlikely possibility when it's the only thing that we're connecting right now is just stupid. But it says Blumberg is infectious disease expert and And he's warning people not to put quick blame, right? But of course, they'll happily put quick blame when it's in regard to your COVID-19 test and whether or not you're sick. They'll actually scream at you if you argue that that doesn't make sense. But it says, my inclination, he says, is that it's probably not related. Cool. We know that the severe allergic reactions that occur, you know, you remember those things they were previously saying weren't actually true, that we were conspiracy theorists for saying that they were happening? Well, now that people are dying all over the place, they're going to go, well, those, you know, those little minor allergic reactions are happening, but that's all. How do we not see this as an intelligent species? They just told us we were crazy conspiracy theorists for arguing that people were having allergic reactions. And now they're saying, well, we know that allergic reactions are happening following immunizations. By the way, some very serious ones that are actually causing potential death, but we don't care about that. It says, but the vast majority of this very early, preliminary, wildly untested rushed product of those occur 15 to 30 minutes following immunization. So because the majority of which they've seen, and are, I guess we're just going to assume that's the only thing that we've seen happening, because remember that even according to the VAERS system, somewhat like 1% of the actual side effects are being reported. That's not a secret, right? It's been shown in the past. But according to that 1% of the possible side effects, the majority happened 15 to 30 minutes afterward. So that means that we know this wasn't the death. I mean, that's the kind of logic they're running with. Blumberg says if it happened several hours later, well, it's probably not the severe reaction that killed. How about there's just something that's not related to the severe reaction? How about it's just an allergic reaction? How about it's just the fact that this thing is totally new and we don't know the real long-term side effects or what it could do to certain people's bodies that have different... I mean, it's unknown is the point, and yet they're telling you they know. Not even telling you they know. Well, we think. And that's being floated. Now, here's the interesting part. A recommendation from Dr. Anthony Fauci states that people should not get the vaccination within 90 days of being sick with a virus. Wait a minute. So here's Fauci telling us that you shouldn't get this if you've been sick within 3 months. And then Bloomberg says, well, people who had COVID participated in the vaccine trials. So Fauci, who is the leading expert, we're told, in regard to this discussion, he's leading the COVID-19, or at least he was under Trump. Oh, actually, he still is. That's right. Is telling you that you shouldn't do this. And then you're following that up with a statement from a different doctor who's saying, well, we already had people that were sick in the trials, which, by the way, was expected. But here, the point is to recognize that this person got the vaccine, or excuse me, tested positive in December. Right there. I knew I had it right there. Tested positive in late December and then got the vaccine a month later. That's despite Fauci saying you shouldn't do that, right? But who knows what's going on? Like, they're not even following their own stated rules or their own stated suggestions or any of this stuff. And yet we're the ones that are crazy for assuming that we're talking about using different vaccines and cutting portions and mixing things up. And yeah, we're the crazy ones. It's all over the place, guys. Here's an interesting point. This is Lance Foreman, author of... Oh, this is different. I thought this was somebody else. But anyway, he's pointing out, very interesting to hear that Israel is not vaccinating people who have had COVID. All right, so Israel's saying, well, there's no point because they have immunity, which obviously makes sense. So why aren't we doing the same thing here? I think we know why. Whether it's money for big pharma or whether it's something more nefarious, the point is they want you to get this vaccine. It doesn't matter whether all of our historic discussions have said if you get something and get better, you'll have immunity. And that's what other countries are saying too. We don't care. We just don't care. Here is one of the women that we just recently showed you. I did the same thing before, but we talked about this woman who her daughter shared this with you via Facebook. Nobody cared. None of the media talk about it. No one's concerned about it. Of course, RT is concerned about it. And guess what? They're investigating. Not RT, but this is being investigated because she is now in severe situation. She is struggling. And yet we're crazy for talking about how this is happening. It really blows my mind.
Pfizer vaccine. This was in Louisiana at the start of January. According to her son, she hadn't experienced any kind of health issues prior to having the shot. Reiner described his mother's condition in an exclusive interview with RT.
I got it. Just
kidding. She said that the day afterwards she woke up with a headache, and she's had the headache every day since until today. Today's the first day she hasn't had a headache. But she started noticing the seizure-like movements in her leg. In her left leg first, and it was 3 days afterwards, and she was admitted to the hospital by 4 days with she had no control over her legs when she was trying to walk. Doctors said they think it's the metals in the vaccine that is causing her to have the neurological reaction.
Erste Quarantäneverweigerer Knast Deutschlands. Hier in der
So this is incredible to me that we're talking about a situation where the doctors themselves are saying, yes, remember, there's metals in the vaccines are something that a lot of people have pointed out. Something we've talked about more than once, something that we've continued to put. This is not a secret. And yet they act like we're crazy for discussing that this is even possible. Now, ask yourself this. If the doctors are telling them that it's likely that this is not only the vaccine, but the metals in the vaccine, why isn't the media even brushing over this? Where is Fox News? Where is CNN? Where is MSNBC? This is not a hypothetical. They're doing it. They're hiding this from you because they have been told that anything, even the truth, that makes you hesitant, they need to keep from your view. This is not new information. We've talked about this a long time. And by the way, Congress is well aware.
One second, ladies and gentlemen.
I heard earlier that
there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about.
Now, remember, he's talking about the nanoparticles. This is the primary point of these new vaccines, the lipid nanoparticle, the envelope from which this is the whole discussion. Right. And we've already talked about polyethylene glycol, and we've already talked about the potential of the antibody dependence enhancement or pathogenic priming. I mean, there's untold amounts of issues with this that they're hiding. And I'll show you the ADE part again, where even the study said that they failed to inform people properly. And we're still going forward. No one cares about that. This is the same problem. We're seeing it happen now. You just heard from the doc from this. The doctors are saying that that's what's going on. This guy's warning them, and this is in 2020, guys. This is February. Why is it that we can't digest the information as Americans? Because your media, if you're still watching only mainstream, will never, ever let you see stuff like this.
And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions, and we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures.
So remember, as we're talking about this discussion about inflammation, that what are we seeing with these vaccines right now? What are we seeing every? Oh, that's right. All the anaphylactic shock and the encephalitis and the swelling of the brain and spinal cord. Like it's all of this is very obviously tied in together. And look, whether or not you think I don't know for a fact, right? That's the point. But we can argue quite clearly that there is more than enough reason to entertain this as a possibility. But what they're doing is outright, without any discussion or due diligence, saying, no, that's not it. They're telling us they're investigating, but there's plenty of evidence that already shows you that they know that this is a possibility. And it keeps going forward. And even while this is happening, and even with that information that we know from the past, when these things happen, they don't go, okay, pause this for safety, just in case, which is what they should do and have told us in the past they do. Not now, though. We're in a rush because this is so dangerous, so we're going to keep going. Don't worry, we won't stop, but we're going to investigate. So we'll find out later from a year from now whether or not all these people we'll be given to will also have this problem. Who cares, though? Because danger. Because you're afraid. Well, 32 residents died from an outbreak in Auburn Nursing Home. This is January 12th. 32 residents have died at the Commons on St. Anthony Nursing Home. The nursing home began its COVID-19 vaccinations on December 22nd, where 293 residents and 113 staff members received their first dose. The second round of doses were administered on January 12th, 24 residents and 41 staff members received their first dose at this clinic. So the question is this COVID-19 or is this a massive wave of response to this vaccine, such as, you know, antibody-dependent enhancement or any of the things we're talking about? The point is that we'll never really know because they frame the narrative, they tell you what's going on, and they say we're investigating that the, nonetheless, we're talking about 32 people that died after getting vaccinated, right? Look at the time difference. We're talking about weeks, if not a week, depending on when they got it in their second. Well, first of all, their second dose is January 12th. So this is being reported on January 12th. People are getting their second dose and then dying. Now that's happening, regardless of whether that's everyone here, because I mean, I'm sure that varies by the time. But we've already seen numerous examples of this. So why we can't add these together and start to build the reality. And look, as you should know by now, if you go look at the VAERS system, it'll blow your mind. But the reason I don't focus on it too much is because I already know the response to it. They're going to claim that these are reportable. And by the way, are we going to, I mean, from the other side of it, to be fully objective, are we going to pretend like that there aren't people that probably go on there and lie because they believe that they're lying for their truth? Of course there are, just like it happens on every side. I guarantee you there are people that are going on that VAERS system and reporting things that aren't true because they're convinced, and I would agree with them, that this vaccine is very dangerous. So they want to lie in that way because they know that it's actually true and they want to manipulate. That's also wrong, by the way. This is everywhere. This is everywhere. How many, you guys have watching this show for a while, you know I've been saying this a lot. Lying for your truth is something that I've coined on this show, and it's everywhere. People who believe what they think is true will make up fake things because they believe that, well, that's better. It'll get them to believe the truth. Q is a huge part of that, right? But realize that that's literally happening all over the place. This will continue unless we're willing to stand up and challenge the control they have over such perceptions. Now, Larry King died after being treated with COVID. Now, what I find really interesting is nowhere in here where they mention vaccinations. But are we going to pretend if they're giving vaccines right now to the most vulnerable? In fact, they just reported that the people that in that one location were weeks away from dying, which is so absurd that we're going to pretend that they were giving them to people that were about to die. So here's a vaccine. You're going to die in 2 weeks. That totally doesn't make any sense. But that was their argument. That's what they claim. So as always, we use their narrative against them. They gave them to people that were 2 weeks away from dying. Are we going to pretend like they wouldn't give it to Larry King? So the point is, did he die from COVID or did he die after getting the vaccine? I argue that they will never find out whether he even got it because they'll guard that aggressively. But it's a question that should be asked because it's happening all over the place. Here's Hank Aaron, who did get the vaccine. Civil rights leader gets vaccinated. They made this big story about how he's, you know, he doesn't care and he doesn't think anybody else should. We should all be doing it. We're all fighting for this together, blah, 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 blah. And then he dies. Now, Brock West points out, hey, ABC, you seem to have deleted the article about this praise about how they did. Luckily that the internet never forgets, given Hank's heroics in taking the experimental vaccine with absolutely zero repercussions and all, which was their narrative. I'm sure it's just an honest mistake. Right? So they stress in this article about zero repercussions because it's totally safe and the guy dies and they delete their article? How do we not see what these people are? They're either that aggressively cultivating the perception true or false, which is clearly what's happening, or they are so convinced that they have to hide these kind of things for their truth. In any sense, they are lying to you or cultivating I've called it in the past, rewriting history in real time. But he died. As Vanessa points out, somebody dies immediately after COVID-19 vaccine, quote, nothing to do with the vaccine. Someone dies of unrelated illness, but has symptoms of COVID-19, put COVID on the death certificate. And we're all the conspiracy theorists. It's crazy. The defender wrote it on as well. He dies after undisclosed cause. They won't go into it. Why? Because it's not that they don't, the truth will scare you away. They don't want you to know that they don't know for sure or that it looks like the vaccine. They'll quietly put it away and act like, well, he was old anyway. Norway, as you should know, and they're totally not talking about, is openly warning about vaccinating these exact people. Why? Because they had a lot of people die after getting this vaccine, and they're well aware that it was because of the vaccine. And they're telling you that if you're sick, elderly, over 80, you should absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, not take this thing. And that's actually what even Pfizer and different people have sort of floated. But yet, it's still happening anyway. Why? Because it's not about safety or health. It's about a narrative. So they'll say, you shouldn't get this if you have allergic reactions. And then all you go into hospital and all they do is say, do you have allergic reactions? You say yes. And they go, do you have an EpiPen? Okay, let's give you the vaccine. Wait a minute. Didn't they just tell us that we shouldn't at all? Not if you have a pen, it's okay. No, they said, don't do it. It's dangerous. And the medical people are saying, do it anyway. There's nothing scientific about this. It's incredible. Here's an interesting site that I want to include for you to look at. We'll just kind of skim through. I'm going to go through this more in the next show, I'm sure, because this is a lot of information. I might just do a whole show on this, but it's a great compilation of side effects of these vaccines, and there's links to all of it. Six people remain hospitalized for adverse reactions due to the COVID vaccine. Hank Aaron died. We just talked about that one. CDC is now reporting 181 deaths, 7,844 cases with side effects. No one's talking about it. Except the independent media who gets censored for talking about it. But there's some interesting ones. Fauci himself said the COVID-19 vaccine shot knocked him out for 24 hours. Really? But it's totally fine, though. Don't worry. I was unconscious for 24 hours, but I'm good. I'm totally fine now. I wonder if that even actually got this thing. But I mean, he's probably, the point is, he's probably just saying he was laid up in his bed or whatever. But the point is that anything like this for somebody that's, when you're vomiting, which is a very common side effect of this, which scares the hell out of me, or any of this stuff, being knocked out or having body aches or any of this stuff, which by the way, sounds exactly like what we're hearing from COVID-19 side effects. What do you know? It's not safe. I mean, this is my opinion. Sure, I'm not a doctor, but damn it, guys, the information is everywhere. And this is untested entirely based on the new usual process, skipping different sections, bunching things together. It's absolutely rushed, whatever they want to tell you. The damn thing's called Operation Warp Speed. Trump couldn't stop talking about how we did this faster than ever. Not that we did it all normal, but just did it with extra money. No, they did this expedited when they, the more they've ever done in history by years. But don't worry, it wasn't rushed. Thousands of Israelis test positive after getting the shot. Which they won't tell. They'll go, no, that's not possible. Jeffco woman has reaction after getting COVID vaccine put on hold in California. The one that they supposedly put on hold, but she got anyway, right? Because these doctors are so, I mean, think about how crazy. It's just the Wild West out there today. More and more people are reporting side effects on Facebook. A long list of anecdotal evidence. Exactly. This is what they're going to do. They're going to say it's anecdotal because we can't prove it. And that's why they set it up this way. They get only 1%, if that, of the reports. And then they say, well, we don't know for sure. It's a system designed to be able to dismiss. Remember, the Helsinki Committee, we just talked about this, is accusing Pfizer and Israel of conducting an unauthorized human experiment. And if that's the case, it applies anywhere else this is happening. Now, after all these continuing, by the way, that's just a fraction of what we've shown you over the last probably couple of months of people dying and horrific side effects. The EU is doing exactly what we were told is crazy conspiracy theorists that'll never happen, you wild maniac. EU is set to implement block-wide vaccine passport standard. Right, such fake news, you know? The European Union is set to recognize a standard for vaccine passports in what is being pitched as a move to reignite travel with the bloc. While admitting that the use of such passports at the moment would be premature due to, guess what, the low vaccination rates, which is not really what they're selling it as on another discussion, right? They don't want you to know that most people aren't doing it. They want it to sound like we have a scarcity, and that's why. No, nobody wants this thing. And now because they don't have enough of us taking it, well, they can't rule out the vast vaccine passports yet because then they don't have enough taking it. So why do you think they're pushing that so strongly? Once they get a majority, well, then they can start the vaccine passports. And that's, I argue, one of the primary agendas, regardless of what's going on. But they have too low vaccination rates among the populations. But the EU says that plans to implement a block-wide standard will likely be picked up once they reach that mark. Shocking. Who would have seen that coming? It says, quote, we feel that now this is the time for these vaccine passports certificates to be recognized across the European Union and even beyond the European Union. Why? Because this is what's coming. Here is Joe Biden's recent executive order. You know, those executive orders that are supposed to only apply to the executive branch, yet they use them as basic mandates across the whole country because they're wildly off the rails and don't actually care about the rule of law or your rights. Yes, every one of them. Trump, Obama, all of it. This is not okay, what they're doing. And they always point back to the other guy and say, here's why, and they do it the whole time anyway. Executive order on promoting, and by the way, this is while they control the Senate, the House, and the executive branch, but they're still doing this anyway. Executive order on promoting COVID-19 safety in domestic international travel. Now, the big point is about the vaccine passports, but I want to go through this and show you a couple other points in here. Number section 2, immediate action to require mask wearing on certain domestic modes of transportation. Right? Biden kept floating the idea of requesting masks for 200 days. No, it's not a request. Now, by the way, this is not legally binding, but they'll force it on you anyway. Shall immediately take action to the extent appropriate and consistent with applicable law. Ah, well, that should mean this wouldn't count, but they won't care about that. To require masks to be worn in compliance with CDC guidelines. Well, CDC guidelines aren't law, and neither are, and this is actually contradictory to applicable law. And the fact that they're forcing anything on you applies to what we've talked about in regard to medical treatment or medical, what's the term I'm looking for? There's a point I'll get to later in the show where we'll talk about this. This is not the word I'm looking for, but anything in regard to telling you that you have to do something like this in regard to medical standards like a mask or testing or quarantine. These are all treatments around this medical scenario. So these are things that they technically shouldn't be forcing on anybody. You have constitutional rights. There are laws already in place. And by the way, there's already international law that claims and states numerous times, which the U.S. is a part of in regard to the U.N., that you are not required or bound by these things that they say are for the best interest of society. Your rights supersede that. I guess just not where your own government is concerned, though. They don't care about that when it comes to you. But those will be required, masks on airports or in airports, commercial aircrafts, trains, public maritime vessels, including ferries, inner city bus services, and all forms of public transportation as defined in section in this unjust executive order. So you have to wear masks now in all these places. And guess what? You're going to be arrested and fined if you don't, which in and of itself will violate the same rules they're telling you you're violating. It's really funny, isn't it? But this is your new normal, guys. This is happening. It always was. Now, this is number 3 in regard to additional public health measures for domestic travel. So internally, they shall promptly provide to the COVID-19 response coordinator recommendations concerning how their respective agencies might impose additional public health measures for domestic travel. That scares me. They're talking about measures in regard to traveling from state to state. So these are domestic restrictions based on their new biosecurity state. But don't worry, it's already going to go away tomorrow with the vaccine though, right? Don't forget that. That's what they want you to believe as they're building this around you. International travel. Required to produce proof of a recent negative test. So now, right now, before we even get to the discussion of passports, they're already saying that you cannot fly out of this country or fly back in without proving that you've gotten a test. That is a violation of your rights. Periods of self-quarantine or self-isolation after entry into the United States. So even if you're an American citizen and you go somewhere and come back, you have to quarantine flying back in. This is set. Now, do you believe this is going to just slowly go away after they claim this goes away? This will be set in stone and will be used in regard to the idea, as they've told us, that this is the new world. This is the new threat. It will always be here. And this is our way to get past it or survive within it. But here's the most alarming part. International certificates of vaccination or prophylaxis, which means protection, which is something else, such as like a test, I guess. But test, I would argue, doesn't make sense in regard to prophylaxis, but I'm sure we'll find this out. Consistent with applicable law. They always say this, but the idea of any of these things is fundamentally unconstitutional. So it's ridiculous. They say that to make it seem as if it makes sense, but it's right there. Consistent with applicable law means that everything else that follows in this regard is null and void because it's not applicable it's absurd. They don't care about the law. You should see that by now. But consistent with applicable law, they say, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of HHS, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, including through the TSA, in coordination with any relevant international organization, shall assess the feasibility of linking COVID-19 vaccinations to international certificates of vaccination and producing electronic versions of these passports. Now, right out of the gate, I guarantee you they're going to go, oh, he said they're just going to look at it, right? Because that means that's not going to happen, right? People will take whatever they can get when they don't want to believe it's happening. All the people that have been screaming it's fake news, like literally despite it already happening and already being built in this country and multiple airlines already saying they're going to do it and travel agencies already saying they're going to do it. People would look at this and go, oh, he's just saying he's looking at it. This is coming. I've been saying it for months and it's not a secret. Accept it and fight back against it because this is crazy. They are going to control your movement based on whether or not you've taken a medical treatment that you should be able to refuse. I should just bring this up so I don't forget. Most of you have probably seen it. Oh, shoot, I don't have it saved on this browser. Yeah, oh well, I'll have to find it and grab it. Oh, maybe I can do this. One second, guys. It's important one to include. Yes, boom, nice. I believe this is it. Shoot, this is the correct location. But so there's this document that I'll find and include for you guys, hopefully. I believe this, one of these will be right. It's very clearly states, and this is from the United Nations, from UNESCO, saying very clearly that you have the right to refuse any of this stuff, that you have a right to say no to any of this stuff. Well, it's in defense of the Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. Oh, well. Most of you know exactly what I'm talking about, that I've shown you this numerous times. Oh, well, I'll find it for you guys. But the point is to remember that under international law, this stuff is beyond a shadow of a doubt. What they're doing is restricting not just constitutional rights, but they're not recognizing international laws, such as the idea of free movement, or, you know, these are human rights, not just American rights. But they don't care because they're using fear to justify all of this. And it's leading to stuff like this, which is the point. The vaccine passports adopted by a barrage of new countries and airliners, which we just recently talked about. But as Gareth points out, Gareth Eich, mental conspiracy theorists were calling this in March. Right, they were calling you crazy for saying this was coming, and we said this a long time ago. But here is a travel agency that's already showing you this is not hypothetical. We have taken the decision to introduce the requirement that all customers must be fully vaccinated. This means that a customer must have received their full two doses of the COVID vaccination at least 14 days before traveling. Our guidance is that all customers should be fully inoculated, which means that they must have received both doses and waited for full immunity to take effect. Except that's not even what these things do, because they've already said that they're not even sure it gives you immunity past a certain point of time. And by the way, they've already shown you that these things will continue to spread. You won't stop transmission. So what does this do with anything? If you can still spread the thing, why does the vaccine have any effect on whether or not you can fly with Saga? Because they're playing their role in trying to get you to think that's the case. Therefore, we will require all of our customers to have received both doses of the vaccine no later than 14 days prior. It's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous because they do not stop anything. But here's the UK travel agency basically pointing out that this is disgusting. Saying this, it's their competitor, obviously, so it's a good business move. But they're basically saying this is Saga Holidays says a message to all of our customers, basically read this, which points out that you have to have vaccines to fly or travel with us, despite you already paying for our services, right? Now, Tradewinds Travel, which I recommend you use if you're in a situation to use that instead of Saga should be immediately boycotted, says you will never get treatment like this from us. Saga UK, you are disgusting. Hear. Completely agree. But the new COVID-19 variant defeats plasma treatment, may reduce vaccine efficacy. Wait a minute. So here's the point of this kind of stuff. As they push the idea that these new variants are more dangerous, this was in January 20th. This is actually from December, but nonetheless, it still shows you the point that they keep pushing the idea there's new variant since then still, but they're saying there's no evidence this is more dangerous or deadly or more severe. They said this about the last one, yet they still put a lockdown on Christmas. They still pushed at the danger, and they're still using this as a dangerous situation, despite people going, we can't prove that at all. But the point is here, they're saying, oh my God, new variant, but defeats plasma treatment that may reduce vaccine efficacy. So what they want you to think is, well, this is more dangerous on one side, but not necessarily realize that this could mean, you know, why should we take the vaccine then? They'll quickly come out and go, no, we made sure it doesn't. You're good. It's all about keeping you fearful that this is more dangerous. But their own narrative is showing you that if this is even correct, that it reduces the efficacy of something that it's crazy that you should even be taking this thing with all the things flying around and all the uncertainty. But here is the real point. Vaccinated people may spread virus. They don't know for sure. They didn't, as Talzak said from Moderna, they weren't paid enough from the U.S. government to try to make it stop transmission. I've shown you that on the past shows. He said if we wanted to do that, we should have gotten more funding. That's the U.S. government they're talking about. So they made a conscious choice to not make sure that these things would stop transmission. Why would they do that? And here's BBC telling you that they may not. So if it's the case, if vaccinated people can still spread the virus, how are they talking about vaccine passports? Because that's probably more the agenda than anything. They're talking about it all over the place. And they're telling you, duh, we'll go back to normal. You go get it and you can fly with us. Despite the fact that you can still spread. It doesn't make any sense. And you all know this by now. But here's what we're still seeing. So my manager has just advised me, she says, and given me the paperwork today to access an online counseling service after her decision to decline the vaccine. A counseling service. So she says you can't be of sound mind if you're not following the government narrative now. This is all part of the same idea. The vaccine passport, the societal pressure, it's all driving you in one direction. And as somebody pointed out, an interesting comment in the same regard. This is somebody pointing out the same thing, but adding interesting context in what you could be doing. I am writing to yourself, as I have been informed by so-and-so, that I must receive the COVID-19 vaccine or face disciplinary action. Guys, this is happening everywhere right now. As I have made clear, I am declining all forms of COVID-19 vaccine under ethical reasons. There are no statutory provisions that can force individuals to become vaccinated. The Public Health Control of Disease Act 1984 specifically states that members of the public should not be compelled to undergo any mandatory medical treatment, including vaccinations. Forcing, coercing, or manipulating an employee to receive a vaccine is in breach of Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which protects people from being interfered with physically or psychologically and includes mandatory vaccinations. It's incredible that these things can already be stated. We already know this is the case. It's already been passed. It's already law. And yet they don't care. They just simply don't care. They're not bound by these laws. Only you are. These are things that are forcing on you. Forced vaccinations in the workplace is not only a human rights concern, but also has criminal implications. Forcing anyone to receive a vaccine injection under duress, under UK law, constitutes an unlawful injury. A vaccination requires an individual's informed and voluntary consent, which you do not have of mine. I want to make it very clear that I am not placing any persons at risk by declining this vaccine, but I am protecting my health and my well-being. Declining this vaccine does not mean that I cannot perform my job effectively and will not be reassigning. In accordance of the Employment Rights Act of 1996 and Section 6 of the 2010 Equality Act, I am protected from being sacked or chosen unfairly for redundancy, and I am safeguarded against unlawful discrimination by my employer. When signing my work contract, I did not agree for any testing, vaccine, or interventions. I enjoy my job and I would like to keep this as civil as possible. But as per my rights, I will be taking legal action via the ACAS Code of Practice on Disciplinary and Grievance Procedures if I receive disciplinary action because of this. I look forward to hearing from you. Now, obviously, this is in the UK, right? But nonetheless, it sort of sets a guideline. There it is. I looked it up on the other browser real quick. It sort of sets a guideline for how you can respond to this stuff. Here is the document that I wanted to show you. So I just figured it drove me crazy. I couldn't find it before. Here is the UNESCO document. Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights. UNESCO being the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. So she's speaking from UK in her regard, saying that there's obvious laws that already make these statements. But this is from an international point. Right, and this is something that is we know who's part of the United Nations. Okay, this is something that is set in stone from 2005, and it says very, very clearly for those that haven't seen it, under first of all Article 3, Human Dignity, Human Rights, the interest and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society. Period. That is international law, but our governments don't care. Consent is the important one that, as I always point out, that they felt so important they had to list it twice. The consent should, in regard to any, we'll make sure I clear that, any preventative, diagnostic, or therapeutic medical intervention, that includes masks, that includes any of this stuff. The consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason, the important part, without disadvantage or prejudice. Consent may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. That's the most important part. I'll include this document so you guys can share it. It's so off the rails right now. Now, understand, even if this was the safest thing on the planet, it would still be a violation of your rights. But add on the fact that it's actually quite dangerous, in my opinion, and there's a lot unspoken and it hasn't been revealed. So, and then add this on. Then you definitely have the reason to say, well, I'm going to go ahead and not do that. Especially since it can still spread the virus. Now, this is the document I've showed you before that I want to just add into this show so people can see it. Informed consent disclosure to vaccinate trial subjects of risk of COVID-19. I just want to comment real quickly. This is a common statement. Someone saying UNESCO has no zip authority in the U.S. I'm not claiming there's authority over anything. I've never been one to claim that the United Nations has authority over American people. That's you misunderstanding what I'm saying. The point is that this document is discussing human rights and bioethics of people around the world. That's not to say that by not following this, the UN can then go and arrest somebody. That's not how this stuff works, guys. The point is it's about ethics. They're laying this out for the world to say, this is what we all should follow. People don't follow it. This gives you a guideline to look back to and say, clearly they're not following what we've all agreed is what we should be bound by. Right? There's a big difference between, say, something like there are mechanisms within these, like the criminal court that's supposed to be holding governments accountable that don't hold themselves accountable, but this is something different, right? I'm not implying this is somehow illegally, but this is important to understand why they're violating your rights. That's it. It's a really important one, too, because, I hope you'll go through and read this whole damn thing. There's a lot of important stuff that shows you how far off the rails we are. I went over this whole thing in a past show. But back to this, informed consent, right? This is whether or not there's things that are concerning about this, and yet there are. This is specifically in regard to antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE. Informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects of risk of COVID-19 vaccines worsening clinical disease. They found exactly what you would be concerned about. This was in October. No one cared. National Library of Medicine, NIH, it says, the vaccines designed empirically using the traditional approach consisting of unmodified or minimally modified coronavirus viral spike, be they composed of protein, viral vector, DNA, or RNA, and irrespective of delivery method, may worsen COVID-19 disease via antibody-dependent enhancement. Crazy, right? That they can just be stated so plainly. This risk is sufficiently obscured in clinical trial protocols and consent forms for ongoing COVID-19 vaccine trials that adequate patient comprehension of this risk is unlikely to occur, meaning that they took action to directly make sure that you did not understand the risks, obviating truly informed consent by subjects in these trials. They found that they chose to hide this from you. People should go to jail for stuff like this. Nothing happened. Not only did nothing happen, they continue to push this vaccine, even for people that are more risk, whether minorities or elderly or people who are pregnant or people. I mean, it's crazy that this is a possibility and they push it anyway. Not even a possibility. They're telling you in the study that it's very clear. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk. That's what I thought was most profound. This is in their conclusions. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of ADE. Just let that sink in. Like, then this isn't a hypothetical. Specific and clearly significant, guys, that this could cause ADE. Should have been, and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in vaccine trials. You're in a trial right now. If you got the vaccine, you are a guinea pig for the government. And even they recognize this. As well as those being, well, technically, this is October, so at the time, there's far more trials than there are. The point is, nonetheless, it's still happening now, and if you're getting it, you're still obviously part of the trial. I mean, there have been plenty of doctors that have spoken up about this and said, like, by the very definition, you're currently a test subject. And them not telling you that is also a violation of informed consent. But it says, as well as those being recruited for the trials and future patients after vaccine approval, in order to meet the medical ethics standards of patient comprehension for informed consent. No one cares. Except, honest people like us actually trying to find the truth and being open to other possibilities. The mainstream media would never share this with you because this directly shows that the very people they tell us to listen to are finding that they didn't tell us what we needed to know. So they just ignore it. And on top of that, more so than just ignoring the very, very obvious and clear, significant and specific risks of this vaccine, they're also hiding normal things that we've always used to keep our immune system strong. Why would they do that? This is one part that I have been trying to squeeze in here for a while now. This is an article that says, why hardly anyone trusts virus experts. Now, there's a lot in here. Oh, actually, I thought this was longer. Anyway, there's the other points in here are important. But this one part I wanted to show you. It says, and this is, it says for proof of why we don't trust these people, let's start with vitamin D, which sure seems to lessen. By the way, this probably will be censored and deleted instantly today because I'm even mentioning vitamin D, which is staggering. And no, I'm not saying vitamin D is a cure for anything, but I think it's a no-brainer, as we've all known, and that even Dr. Fauci, as you'll see in this article, recommended that vitamin D, along with vitamin C, are absolutely important to strengthen the immune system, which will then absolutely, no-brainer, help you fight off any virus. So then, by default, you can argue that these things are treatments for COVID-19. It's ridiculous the way they're playing word games today. But it says, let's start with vitamin D, which sure seems to lessen the severity of coronavirus infections. Now, regardless of that, it shouldn't even matter because we know these things have been shown to improve your immune system. As the chart below illustrates, it says people with higher levels of vitamin D in their bloodstream tend to experience COVID-19 as a non-event, while people low levels found the infection life-threatening. Now, this has been stated by doctors, but that's not what I'm even getting into today. It says there are obvious questions about causality here, right? There could be other things involved. So calling vitamin D a cure is obviously going too far. So doing that, I'm not arguing anybody should be censored, but doing so, you're wrong, right? And you're misleading people. But it says, but if it has even a marginal effect, and the data suggests considerably more, by the way, a rational government would, you'd think, be handing out vitamin D like Halloween candy. In fact, since we're mandating prohibiting all kinds of other behaviors, right? Think about that. They're forcing this and they're doing that. Wear a mask and do all these. But yet we'd expect, as they say, vitamin D consumption to be required. You know how easy that would be? You know how cheap that would be? Why, as they're saying, why don't they? Why aren't they handing out family-sized bottles of vitamin D? A cynic might wonder if the fact that Big Pharma doesn't make much money from the cheap, widely available supplements plays a role in the government's apparent lack of interest. Regardless, it's obvious that they're playing games with what this is. As even Dr. Fauci said, if you are deficient in vitamin D, that does have an impact on your susceptibility to infection. What? By the way, we know this. It's pain, but the fact that he says that and then they take action against it, he says, so I would not mind recommending, I do it myself, taking vitamin D supplements. He's speaking in regard to COVID-19. But here's what we're seeing. Court orders Georgia defendants to stop selling vitamin D products, not only as treatments for COVID-19, not cures, but treatments, but and other diseases. So you can't even market vitamin D in regard to making you healthy anymore. Why? Because they don't want you to even remember that that's something that has far more benefit than some of these horrible things they're pumping in your arm. That is crazy. I take vitamin D and vitamin C every day. Gummies, actually, that are fantastic. I take them for like a, I don't eat dessert. I just have some gummies, right? And it's great. And it's, but the point is that they're there for everybody and they've always been, and we've always seen this. Even Fauci will point it out, but now because they want you to only focus on, it's absurd as people in the WHO for, I guess, for a brief moment, absurdly claiming that herd immunity only comes from vaccines, even changing definitions on their website. Until people like Neil Ferguson and others come out and go, well, that's not actually true. We'll walk that back a little bit. It's just so dumb how now we're walking it back. So when I questioned it when they first said it, I got censored. Is that now not okay? I mean, it's a step by step. Believe whatever they're saying in the moment and nothing else. That's all they want from you. I argue that's actually why they're trying to be so disjointed with this. Flip-flopping. One day it's this, one day it's that. Now it's this again. No, now it's that again. They want you to be so uncertain that all you do is just go, okay, whatever you say. That's what we're seeing. And clearly, I hope we recognize that everything they're doing, as well as not doing, is actively leading to your degrading health. Clearly, every one of them, every single thing they've done has increased your illness, increased your danger. I mean, across the board. I won't go all over it now, but man, it's very clear. Now, I already pointed this out, but I want to make another reiteration on this before we get into the PCR test again. Remember, I mean, this is being, again, it's always the way that these all get attacked by people inside the two-party illusion, right? You get people on Twitter, they're going, oh, these dumb conspiracy theorists, they didn't even read what this says. It doesn't even mention lowering the cycle threshold. Okay, so because one guy on Twitter screams that they told us to lower the threshold, they then pretend like that's what we're all saying. You guys already saw my show. I have my opinions, but I clearly went through other parts of it, including where it shows you that it doesn't actually appear that they are lowering the threshold. I made that point when I first saw this. I mean, it's just ridiculous how they play this. But so what they're trying to do now is arguing that this was just a routine notice and they're blowing it out of proportion. But it's not. I argue, excuse me, they're the ones that didn't read it. As usual, they scream at us, you're not reading the science, as they blindly trust what they're told is the science, as we read the actual science. Same thing here. They heard from Fox News or from, you know, whatever channel or whatever New York Times or whatever they're listening to that said, here is why this is being misrepresented. And they go, oh, I knew it, because that aligns with what I already thought. Here's what it actually says. Users of, and the IVD stands for, where was it again? Oh, I did this last time. It's right here. In vitro diagnostic medical device. So like in your body, essentially. But it says, users of IVDs must read and follow the instructions for use, the IFU, carefully to determine if manual adjustment of the PCR positivity threshold is recommended by the manufacturer. So yes, this matters, because what they're saying is they're opening the door to the doubt here. They're saying, look, you guys need to read the information to find out whether you should be adjusting exactly what we're talking about, the positivity threshold. So this isn't a normal routine thing. If they've been doing this whole time and they're putting this out for the very purpose of saying, hey, you guys need to check and make sure you're doing this properly. That is not a normal routine thing. Just because they didn't verbatim say, we need you to lower the threshold, which I believe is going to be the result of this, probably, doesn't mean that's not where this is going. But you see, that's how they play this game. But it says WHO guidance diagnostic testing for SARS-CoV-2 states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed. So that's new. Well, technically not new. They're reiterating it from this document, but here's what this is. The cycle threshold needed to detect virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load. That is new. They're pointing things out. They want people to understand. Not that that's a new concept, but they're making sure anybody out there recognizes that the cycle threshold very clearly does affect whether or not you're going to get false positives or not. Here's what it says. WHO reminds IVD users that disease, we're talking about the PCR test, users that disease prevalence, let me start again. WHO reminds IVD users that disease prevalence alters the predictive value of test results. Reminding them of this is basically saying, guys, you need to pay attention to this, or whether that argue that's what they want it to look like. I don't think any of these people, I think everyone's been aware of this whole manipulation from the whole time, but they're saying it. As disease prevalence decreases, the risk of false positive increases. That's huge. That is exactly what we've been saying and been censored for saying. And now they're saying it. That's what everyone's talking about. But all these people that don't actually even understand what we're discussing, probably, and saying that they don't, that we don't understand how this thing works, it's embarrassing. This means that the probability that a person who has a positive result is truly infected with SARS-CoV-2 decreases as prevalence decreases, irrespective of the claim specificity. Okay, that's important. It's clear. What they're telling you is that there is a correlation between the cycle threshold and increased false positives. We all have known that, because even Kerry Mullis and different people have made this clear, that this is why this is not suitable for detecting viral, for doing what they're using it for right now. No, he didn't say COVID-19, but he also didn't say anything else. He's talking about viruses in general. So yes, his statements obviously apply. Another point that I want to say, and I'll reference this in a minute again, but that when I first showed you this the other day on the show, this is the document that showed up. And I want to make this clear that it says 45 cycle threshold. So my point was, I don't actually think that they're even claiming what they want this to be is it to appear as if they're opening the door to why this could be discussed in the future. But yet they're saying, read the instructions for use. The instructions for use seem to say 45 cycle threshold. So maybe they're not trying to lower this down. I mean, maybe that's the point is, if they were going to engineer a slow decrease of cycle threshold to make it seem like the vaccine was working, I would argue they would change the number they're listing in the instructions that they're telling everybody to follow. And on that very note, it's important to always make sure those that haven't seen it recognize that this was stated by Dr. Fauci himself in regard to the cycle threshold. I've shown this a few times, but it's important to recognize that this is from months ago, in the middle of all of this. And only now are they coming out and starting to slightly suggest that they should be doing something different.
Erste Quarantäneverweigerer Knast Deutschlands. Hier in der Verweis.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule.
Mm. I've played that a million times. That's from the middle of all this, and yet they kept doing it. But what I wanted to point out is that this is the document you'll see, I saw, in regard to the real-time PCR kit instructions for use, exactly what they're telling you to look at. But here's what's interesting. When you actually look at this document again today, there's only one link on here, right? There's only one link. Guess where it takes you now? To an empty page. Why would they do that? I happen to have this link saved from my previous show. That's why it's here. But you'll even notice, I don't think you can see, yeah, you can't see it. But if you look at the URLs after the show, you'll see that the URLs are oddly similar. So for whatever reason, they don't want you to do your own due diligence and read what this says for yourself. Why would they do that? I found that to be quite revealing. The point is, we always can see an aggressive effort to manipulate things in real time and make sure that you can only trust what they're telling you it says, not what it actually says. But here's the full video for you guys to watch for yourselves. This Week in Virology, which, by the way, I haven't looked into this enough yet, but they've sent me a video. The reason I put this away is because another episode of this very thing, this Week in Virology, with a gentleman from EcoHealth Alliance. I don't know why I say gentleman. That's just a habit of mine. Probably not a gentleman. A guy from EcoHealth Alliance, which is obviously tied in with, you know, the North Carolina University, the material and the money payments back and forth between the U.S. government, all of it, and Wuhan and China's government. But he had an interview with the guy from EcoHealth Alliance, and the actual video says May 20th, 2020. So I'm thinking, okay, well, he had this discussion in the middle of all this. But apparently the video, I'm being told, was recorded before COVID-19. And there's a lot of things being stated in that video that seem to suggest some foreknowledge, but I haven't been able to dive into that just yet, or confirm that it is, in fact, not from May 20th as opposed to what I'm being told. But interesting that this is another video with that same podcast. And Fauci also let something slip that doesn't, you know, it's very odd. But here's the full video for you guys to check out for yourselves. Now, here's the statement from I think I actually might have even seen it first from this. He says, on the day Biden is sworn in, which I also find very interesting. This is released on the day Biden is sworn in. The WHO advises laboratories around the world, and this is inaccurate. I should have said this the first time, but I jumped over to the document, to reduce the cycle count. They don't actually ask them to reduce the count. What they say is, and this is what the people pointing at us and saying conspiracy theorists are focusing on. Not the actual document, but what people are claiming we're saying about it, which is just great, very intelligent, right? But it's not asking them. It's simply saying, look at the instructions for use and make sure you're aware that if you do this, it will it'll increase your chances for this. But it doesn't say reduce the cycle threshold. And again, I want to make clear that when they actually go look at the instructions for use, it very clearly says 45. You guys already saw it, but since I'm already going back, I might as well make sure I can see it. There, 45, right there. So that's actually incorrect. And this is what leads you in the, but you know what? This is just a guy talking on Twitter. So there's no, the fact that we are being at a point now where the idea that you can't express your opinion, even if it's incorrect, I find crazy. I really do. Why is anybody trying to hold Dylan Davidson responsible for, I mean, it's just silly. The people who should be are the people in charge, your officials that are supposed to represent you. But we're at a weird point today where you can't even, like, what if someone's, I could go off forever about this, but satire and all kinds of different things. We're being conditioned to think that you can't even say or think things anymore that are off the path because it's dangerous. It'll eventually translate to violence. That's where they're all putting it. But here's the defender pointing out that they finally admit the test has a problem. But it says the WHO's new guidance, which includes lower PCR thresholds, almost guarantees COVID case numbers will automatically drop dramatically around the world. Now, again, I this is a thought that I also think is probably where this will end up. But remember that I actually don't think that that's necessarily what's happening with 45 being listed there. That's the dangerous. That's the highest it seems it goes in regard to what people are using today. Not that I don't know whether the test can go higher than that. The point is 40 to 45, I understand, is what most people are using. So it's guaranteed to cause false positives. And we'll have to wait and see whether it actually translates into a reduction of cases or whether they increase this to keep us all in fear. Who knows what's happening? But what we do know is that they're telling us what we thought about the PCR test is accurate and that we have every reason to be concerned about false positives, even as the website of the CDC says that they do. But we're all crazy, though. Despite the test being clearly shown to have very serious issues, remember that Dr. Scoglio, PhD, tested a Kiwi on live TV and it tested positive. And he's the one telling you that based on the cycle threshold they're using, which we just showed you, it's almost a guarantee of like 95% false positives. Think about that. But regardless of that, here is the UK saying, well, we'll give you 500 euro if you test positive. Or if you, literally, if you test positive, not just get tested, but test positive. Think about that. They're paying you. As it says, DNA harvesting, right? Obviously, one of my thoughts I had from the very beginning of all this. But I mean, also recognize how weird it is that now we have these tests that are like, okay, you can swab myself or just barely in my nose. So why were we jamming people's blood-brain barriers for a while in the beginning? And why is that still happening in some places? Yeah, who knows? Nobody's going to tell or even ask that question in the mainstream media. Who cares? Who knows what other tests are going on? But ministers' eye astonishing plan to give everyone who tests positive for a virus a one-off payment to encourage more swabs. So they want you to come get tested. Why? Because it's going to exponentially increase the case numbers. They already know this. At cost of £500 million a week. They're paying that. So why don't they just give that to the people that need it? No, because they need to entice you to take the thing that's going to save your life, but we need to pay everyone to do it. Do you realize that how stupid that is? That if this was as dangerous as they're making it sound, going back to the original chart that we showed you, right? The fake versus real. Where was that? Right here. The idea that people would need to rush in, or that people would need to be paid and coerced and bribed into taking this thing does not jive with the idea of real, right? All these people, it's the idea that we're being told all this is happening, not that we see it. If this was real in the way that we're being told, people would be lining up in fear to get this thing, no matter what it was, because how alarming the world was becoming. People dying all over the place, everyone's going crazy. Nope. No. They're telling you, the joke in the beginning, that a virus so dangerous, you need to be tested to be told you have it. But here it says, there's absolutely no way this plan is badly thought through or will backfire. None whatsoever. Here's the main page of the Daily Mail. 500 COVID cash point. Come in, get tested so we can contact trace you and control everything around your life. Pay to stay at home. UK reportedly pays 500 euro to those who with COVID to self-isolate. It's just, these are the kind of things that make me sit back and just go, it has to be that most people see that this is crazy and that we're being manipulated into thinking that the majority is okay with this. I just don't understand how people can be this willing to ignore their own freedoms and liberty based on, or even recognize that this isn't as serious if they're paying you to do the thing that should be obvious. I don't know, but we're here. It's happening. I think we need to continue to speak up. As I said on the other show with, was it Robert, I believe? No, I believe that was the one with Jamie maybe at the end. And either case, the point is that now is the time to stand up, guys. Now is the time to go out without your mask. Now is the time to go out and challenge what you're being told to do. Show other people that you're allowed to do these things. Show other people that there is another path, that you don't have to be mindlessly acquiescing to government demands that have no basis in law. Stand up for yourselves. Yeah, there might be repercussions, but now is the time to do this because there's not going to be another time. Because you know what? What's happening to you is dangerous. Not what you're at risk of catching. What they're doing to you is dangerous. It's all there for you to see. Here's a huge discussion coming back to lockdowns. German court finds that, excuse me, it declares regional lockdown unconstitutional. Quote, catastrophically wrong. Did you hear about that on the evening news? This is from January 23rd. Did you hear about that? Did it tell you about that? Did anyone talk about the very huge, what they called a politically explosive decision? No. Why? Because they're told lockdowns, that's what they need to do. Their job is not to inform you about the truth around the lockdowns. Their job is to make sure you're okay with what the government needs you to do. Why we can't see that by now, by and large, by everybody, I don't know. I think most do, but enough of us don't. A German district court has declared a strict lockdown imposed by the government of the central state of Thuringia last spring unconstitutional, as it acquired a person accused of violating it. So this is a court that said you are acquitted of being accused of violating this unjust lockdown. That is huge. A trivial case about a man violating strict German lockdown rules by, guess what, celebrating a birthday with his friends. What a villain. But it ended up positive. Ended up in a decision the German media described as politically explosive. It was this regulation that a local man, violated by hosting a party attended by his seven friends. Seven friends, that's it. Yet the judge said that the regional government itself violated the inviolable guaranteed human dignity. That is huge. Secured by Article 1 of the German Basic Law in the first place by imposing these restrictions to begin with. These are huge. This is exactly what this other person was saying in regard to the vaccine. There are already laws that say these things are wrong. It's time that we start fighting back. According to the court, the government lacked sufficient legal grounds to impose the restrictions since there was no, quote, epidemic situation of national importance. That sure challenges the narrative. At that time, and the health system was at no risk of collapsing, as the Robert Koch Institute reported that the COVID-19 reproduction number had fallen below one. The judge also ruled that the regional government had no right to introduce such far-reaching measures at all, since it was up to the lawmakers to do so. Wow, what do you know? You mean the lawmakers are actually supposed to be the ones making laws and voting on it based on what the constituents want them to do, not just mandates by people in power? Weird. Who would have thought? Is that how democracy is supposed to work? You don't just get to say danger, so none of those things apply, which is what all of our governments are doing right now. By the way, still in Germany, we'll get to the next part, because this is not necessarily binding countrywide or legally. This is just a ruling that other judges can look to when they make their rulings. But it says this week, Chancellor Angela Merkel's cabinet extended the restrictions until mid-February. You know, not really caring about the fact that other countries are saying this is catastrophically wrong. It's politics, guys. It's power. But here's the footage from a German internment camp for quarantine refusers, right? This is literally what this guy just won a case for. And yet Germany is still putting people in camps for refusing to quarantine. And this is German media reporting this, as they say, with sickening casualness. Now, I think, yeah, I did actually just grab this, so let's play the clip.
Erste Quarantäneverweigerer Knast Deutschlands. Hier in der verwaisten Jugendarrestanstalt Molsfelde in Schleswig-Holstein werden schon bald Covid-19-Querulanten eingesperrt.
Es ist eben kein Hotel, es sind aber ja auch die Menschen, die sollen hier einziehen, die sich aus welchen Gründen auch immer nicht an die Quarantäneanordnungen der Kreise der kreisfreien Städte hier in Schleswig-Holstein halten.
Das bedeutet, wer in Schleswig-Holstein mehrfach von der Polizei dabei erwischt wird, wie er trotz Quarantäne das Haus verlässt, bekommt...
I mean, can we actually just take a minute and recognize how, I mean, this is incredible. We are literally at a point where people, I mean, German, or regardless of where it is, I mean, obviously this whole point about Germany and the history is, you know, that obviously is relevant, but the point is, in general, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. We're talking about a country in the West that is literally putting people in camps, internment camps, because they don't do what their government tells them to do. How in the world has this happened where we're pretending we still live in representative governments? Guys, this is incredible. And this is exact. And yeah, somebody pointed out in the chat, it's happening in Canada too. The guy, one of the representatives in the parliament actually stood up and asked, how in the world are we allowing this? And they laughed at him in an open parliament session, as if he was so crazy that this couldn't be happening. And yet it's currently happening. Did those people that laughed at him, are they that stupid that they didn't realize it was happening in their own government? Or did they laugh to make it seem like it was fake because they knew what was really going on? It doesn't matter. It's happening. This is happening. And it's coming to a town near you.
Noch eine letzte Chance in Form einer sogenannten Gefährderansprache.
Man besucht denjenigen nochmal zu Hause, wenn man ihn antrifft, und sagt ihm, wenn du dich jetzt nochmal nicht dran hältst, dann haben wir auch noch in Molsfelde eine schöne Einrichtung.
12 Quadratmeter große Zellen stehen zur Verfügung. Helle Fliesen, Holzbett, Regal, Tisch, Stuhl, Mini-Nasszelle. Den Blick durchs Vergitter.
Take note of the bars on the window. Right, so you're now a violent criminal because you refuse lockdown? I mean, this is the idea that you can be put in a literal prison because you refuse to stay in your own home because they tell you you might be sick despite the fact that you don't know for sure, or the fact that you just have a certain amount of things that collide. And, you know, they say, well, you might have it. You have a cough and you're from this area. And it's crazy. If anyone thinks this will not be used going forward, you're crazy naive and just don't care about history, apparently.
Fenster und knallharte Regeln.
Ich stehe hier auf dem Hof der Jugendarrestanstalt. Hof können Freiheitlichkeiten, die ziemlich häusliche Gefahres
gibt. Ich die Ultima Reizügig.
Corona-Knast von Molsfelde. Ab Februar wird hier abgeschlossen. Der Norden macht ernst.
Freedom! Now can you imagine what would happen if that was Iran? If that was Venezuela? That was Syria? If that was any country the US government would like to scream about? Russia? China? Any of them? Germany doesn't matter, right? Germans are allies, so we'll ignore that. Now, as Patrick Henningsen also points out, this was actually, I believe, from... Well, this was the article right here. This is from April 20th, okay? Which, funny, it's probably April 20th. They're probably on this roof smoking for all we know. But here, this is in the middle. This is from April. And this is what Australia was already doing. It says, anyone who doesn't think this government and society has drifted beyond the pale, then I strongly suggest you drop by the pharmacy and pick up some smelling salts. We can see you with your drinks on the building, right? Do you know how much money they're spending to use this kind of surveillance? Money that could be given to Australian people to feed their families, or, I don't know, to catch real criminals? But no, it's about you. It's always been about you. Building is surrounded by police for three kids sitting on a roof hanging out with dogs and helicopters. Oceania has always been at war with Eurasia. If you haven't read 1984, guys, it's damn well time you understand what's going on right now. This is right out of the guidebook. Just like they always say, right, the war is not meant to end. It's meant to be forever. That's what this is. I think Patrick Henningsen actually tweeted that out with basically with another meme, but saying, oh, a new variant was just pointed out today. How do we even know if it's true? Who knows? We'll have to trust them, right? And the point is, it's just going to keep going. It's never going to go away. I wanted to include the article just so you can see this is absolutely what happened. Just for being on a rooftop. Breaching COVID rules. You mean like Newsom did? You mean like Birx did? You mean like 35 other people that told us we couldn't do that did? Yeah. Well, I'm sure they weren't ticketed, arrested, or shot. I mean, think about how crazy it is that they can go in there, you know, go to the Napa Valley and go to Thomas Keller's French Laundry, one of the most expensive and highly sought after restaurants in the world. But yeah, who cares? Newsom can do it. No big deal. You do it, you'll get arrested with cops and canine sniffing dogs and helicopters. But here's an infectious disease expert saying point blank, again added to the growing list that, that lockdowns do not work, or rather that this is not working. Using evidence of how it's been going. Not just opinions based on models, which is what they're still doing, despite having a year of data. Infectious disease expert professor, in general, not just lockdowns haven't been a year, but you get my point. There's a lot of data from what's been happening. Infectious disease expert professor Stephen Riley says current data shows that the national lockdown in the United Kingdom is not working. It's long enough that were the lockdown working effectively, we would certainly have hoped to have seen a decline. In fact, the lockdowns are increasing the problem, which, by the way, we know by now of a lot of examples are showing us. But in that whole lockdown, they're continuing to attack you. UK reports 6,500 COVID-related prosecutions in the first 6 months of the pandemic. 6,500. Why? For going outside, for drinking coffee in the park, for walking with your friends, for sitting on a rooftop, for having a birthday party. This is a scary time that we're fighting with a bunch of cult members who will scream at you that you're not protecting their grandma if you're on a rooftop with your three friends. Scary. And as Vanessa points out, fascist state, and it clearly is. This is Home Secretary saying next week we'll be introducing a new €800 fine for those attending house parties. So you can't even leave. €800. For choosing to go hang out with your friends. Quickly, to hand it. Yeah, I mean, you can watch it for yourself. I'm sure that's not hard to believe. This is where the world is going. And none of it is based on the facts. And as Vanessa Beely always also points out, great. By the way, if you haven't checked out the wallwillfall website.org, I hope you do. Lots of great information. While crushing working class at home, right? While fining you €800 just for hanging out with your friends and making sure you can't feed your family and making you stay at home, the UK government has cash to spare for Al-Qaeda-linked white helmets. So in the middle of all this, they're still sending money, almost €1 million, to the white helmets. You know, that terrorist-funded and organized, completely alarming group that's not actually there to help Syrian people, that has been overtly shown from The Hague to the UN and everywhere else, but of course to your media, they're a bunch of freedom-loving revolutionaries fighting terrorism. Why would the facts matter here and versus anywhere else? It's about their narrative and they what you want you to think, but they're willing to give $1 million to people that are obviously linked to terrorists overseas, or anybody for that matter, in the middle of this. Well, how does that make sense? How does giving money to anybody anywhere else make sense when this is happening? Because their agendas matter more than you. This is one of the best ones. I can't even believe this. California apparently refuses to disclose their COVID-19 data used to drive lockdowns. Because it's about you and freedom, right? It's about he's representing us, but he won't disclose what he's using to lock you down. You don't have a representative government. You don't live in a representative government. You don't live in a democracy. This government is off the rails. It has been for a very long time. This is the last power grab. Not left, not right, your government. They're taking it. They can see that they can, because some of us are passively allowing it to happen. California Governor Gavin Newsom, one of the very people that broke the lockdown rules and didn't have any repercussions, promised months ago that the state's COVID policy decisions would be driven by transparent data that would be shared with the public, which, by the way, shouldn't be your choice, Gavin Newsom. Now, his administration is refusing to disclose key information used to determine when lockdown orders are implemented or rescinded, and has denied a public records request. So not only has he said no, he's denying requests for the information from other official locations. A request filed with the California Health and Human Services Agency on May 28th, all that time ago, seeking both the data and the science behind the state's lockdown decisions. Now, state health officials now say they rely on a, quote, very complex set of measurements that would confuse and potentially mislead the public. Oh, so that means the data doesn't back up what you want to do? Yes, that's very well said. Or does it mean that there's too complex, that there's more going on here, and if we, with our lay person eyes, would look at it, we would go, well, that doesn't seem to suggest danger. Ah, so we're just confused. We're just misled. But in short, California says you're too stupid to understand the rationale for mandating thousands of businesses into financial ruin through what appear to be arbitrary and unscientific decisions. To wit, at least two California judges have struck down the state's draconian mandates over a lack of scientific evidence to support lockdowns and restaurant restrictions. By the way, we've looked at, there's endless amounts of this, endless amounts. of medical professionals, scientists, other studies coming out and saying, well, there's no evidence to support that this is what we need to do. In fact, there's plenty of evidence showing that it's increasing the problems. It says not only that, according to SF Gate, there's growing speculation that California's ban on outdoor dining may have contributed to the state's COVID-19 surge. Not the best of optics as a GOP effort to recall Newsom continues to gain momentum. It's about power. The last thing he needs is for you to look at the data and comb through why there's no justification for what he's doing. And while that's all happening, of course, over 2 million people are waiting for cancer screenings, tests, and treatments and can't get it. But we'll pretend like that's not having any effect on deaths or increased problems during all of this. Not at all. Another interesting point to wrap up here at the end, an incredible one-of-a-kind natural epidemiological experiment took place in Croatia. It would be unethical to abolish all the COVID measures in a territory, as he's saying, but it happened in a Croatia country due to a series of earthquakes. It's very interesting. I recommend you dive into this further because I find this to be very revealing. He says, and you can look into this data for yourself, a series of lethal earthquakes, the strongest measuring 6.2, claimed 7 lives and a large damage strongly affected some 100,000 people. Immediately on December 28th, thousands of volunteers from across the country converged to the affected area. Nobody cared for the measures, masks, any of it. So they all rushed in because of the earthquakes and weren't concerned themselves with COVID-19 measures. Not at all. The government abolished the prohibition of crossing county borders for the whole country, which was for COVID too. The measure introduced just several days earlier, only because of these earthquakes. Now, 18 days afterward, there is not even an uptick in registered cases, even though the testing was escalated due to the explosions of social contacts, meaning they came in with no measures and everybody was contacting each other and the contact tracers went crazy. Even so, not even an uptick. Now, update. County cases are down, in fact, 44% since before the earthquakes. So the point is, there's plenty of other variables. Correlation is not causation, but it shows you an interesting dynamic where people came in with not observing any of the things we're supposed to, that we're told will kill us all if we don't. And in fact, they saw a decrease in the cases. Something to consider. But to finish, recognize that there's a lot that I hope you will join people out there that are standing up for their rights. This is a New York Teachers for Choice saying that they're basically demanding New York teachers of the New York Teachers Union that no forced medical mandates are pushed or they'll stop paying their union dues. This has now become a union issue where we're going to see, you know, picket lines. And, you know, I mean, this becomes quite serious for a lot of people when we're talking about teachers or, you know, people in those kind of the backbone of a lot of these industries. This happens a lot with, you know, construction or different kinds of things like that have a lot of unions where they're going to say, we're not being paid enough. We're not being protected. And this is a case they're saying we will refuse to pay these dues if you force masks or vaccines or anything on us. Good for them. Support them and everyone else doing so. But here's what they're battling back with in regard to the NHS. I got to say, the NHS advertisements like the one on the cover today are some of the most horrifically propagandized things that I've ever seen. Like, this is worse than even what they tell us was Nazi propaganda. This is horrible. It says a new despicable low in the frankly demented propaganda onslaught aimed at persuading healthy people that by doing perfectly normal things whilst they are not sick and thus not infectious are killing people. Look at this. It says, look in her eyes and tell her you never bent the rules. Look him in the eyes and tell him you always kept a safe distance. Look him in the eyes and tell him the risk isn't real. None of that is backed up in evidence or facts. That's an emotional ploy, which is gross. But as Vanessa points out, we'll play their own game. Look her in the eyes and tell her it was worth canceling her surgery. Look him in the eyes and tell him he should be locked up for bringing his daughter home. Look her in the eyes and tell her that her hunger didn't matter. You're damn right. We could play that game too. Except only one of them seems to actually make sense. Well, thank you for being here, guys. Thank you for thinking for yourselves and always asking the questions. Always being willing to consider things that don't seem to align with what you're told you're supposed to be thinking. Thank you for caring enough to share the information and put yourself out there in a way that is attacked every day today. It takes a lot of courage. and you'll need it now more than ever. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, to what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead for you, for your children? The frontiers of the future are not on any map. They are in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries.
The Jacobardi case was one of the great judicial moments in world history, and the public was totally unaware it was actually happening as the process was being engaged. General Electric and Professor Jacobardi went to the patent office with a little microbe that eats up oil spills. They said they had modified this microbe in the laboratory, and therefore it was an invention. The patent office, the U.S. government, took a look at this, quote, invention, and they said, no way. The patent statutes don't cover living things. This is not an invention. Turned down. Then General Electric and Dr. Jacobardi appealed to the U.S. Customs Court of Appeal. And to everyone's surprise, by a 3-2 decision, they overrode the patent office. We bring good things to life. And they said, this microbe looks more like a detergent or a reagent than a horse or a honeybee. I laughed because they didn't understand basic biology. It looked like a chemical to them. Had it had an antenna or eyes or wings or legs, it would never have crossed their table and been patented. Then the patent office appealed. And what the public should realize now is the patent office was very clear that you can't patent life. My organization provided the main amicus curiae brief. If you allow the patent on this microbe, we argued, it means that without any congressional guidance or public discussion, corporations will own the blueprints of life. When they made the decision, we lost by 5-4, and Chief Justice Warren Burger said, sure, some of these are big issues, but we think this is a small decision. 7 years later, the U.S. Patent Office issued a one-sentence decree. You can patent anything in the world that's alive except a full-birth human being.